It is the Dry Heat Check with J. Cohen Espo. I'm Jared Cohen. That's Greg Esposito. Each and every week, we like to talk about Arizona sports and all the fun stuff around it. That's what we do on the Dry Heat Check. It's episode Tony Womack, the fifth episode. Tony Womack.
I can't believe we've made it 5 weeks. We did more than 1 month's worth of podcasts here.
Tony Womack, what comes to mind when you think Tony Womack?
World Series?
Absolutely.
Guy that could steal bases like crazy?
I think of the guy that hit that huge RBI double in the Cardinals series before the World Series championship. I'll never forget that play.
Yep, that was a great play as well. I think of a guy who my wife taught his daughter. That's something random for all of you to know.
Well, so there's a little bit of a kind of a bias here. That's why he was thrown to the top to me, have the episode named after.
I wasn't with my wife when she taught his daughter, so there's no bias there on my part. Just a fun fact for everyone.
Fun fact. Well, that makes the episode that much more exciting.
Not really, but we'll go with it.
Son, there was only one son that wore the number 5.
And the original
son. It was hard not to name the episode after him, but we went with Tony Womack. Dick Van Arsdale, the original son, wore the number 5, and he is the only one that's ever worn the number 5 in Phoenix.
Yep, a great guy. Got a chance to know him a little bit. Fantastic man.
Cardinals, Drew Stanton, and then a couple special teamers in Ben Graham and Greg Davis.
Best dancer ever to wear the number 5 for the Cardinals,
Drew Stanton. Other Diamondbacks, Ender Inciarte and Robbie Hammack.
Yeah, not that impressive.
And then the Coyotes, Connor Murphy, who just signed a 6-year extension yesterday with the Coyotes, defenseman, and Darren Quint. Not sure I'm used to calling guys Duran these days. Probably Darren Quint, one of the original young hotshot defensemen on the Coyotes when they moved to Phoenix.
Wasn't Connor Murphy like a 6-year, like $2 million? It was like the weirdest 6-year deal I've ever
seen.
That's
what I was reading.
It wasn't a lot of money. It was like $26 million or something.
But since it's long term.
Yeah, you see these NBA contracts for a long time. And you're like, wait, $26 million, 6 years? This seems like it doesn't make sense. It seems like that's the 1 year number. And it's $26 million per, but it's not. It's just 6 years and that amount.
Well, if he continues to progress the way they want him to progress, I'm sure that contract will end up being renegotiated at some point. But it's good to keep the core together if you're the Coyotes. We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Training camp has officially gotten underway down in Glendale, so we'll talk some Cardinals. Two local favorites and, I think, all-time greats from the Cardinals and the Suns announced their retirement this week. We'll get into that soon. And then we'll talk, MTV. They announced a new TV show that's going to be starting, I think, this weekend,
a new
called
channel,
MTV
yeah.
Classics, bringing back all the old school stuff. So we'll work that into being Arizona sports related. And then, as always, we'll play trade, extend, release with players or around the teams here locally. And we will have our wet, cold take of the week. And it's a pretty good one. We're putting another one of our own on blast.
And
which
loyal
will be fun.
Listener of the podcast.
Loyal listener. As well. Yeah, diehard. Not maybe the president of the fan club. Maybe
that's,
we'll
that's
him
the there. One guy that subscribed. It's good to know.
Amari Stoudemire and Darnell Dockett retire this week. First off, really cool to watch Darnell Dockett's press conference coming back. Was a big fan of Darnell Dockett, was one of the catalysts of the new perception that is the Arizona Cardinals that we see it today. I think he has to be at the forefront along with, Michael Bidwell, Larry Fitzgerald, and those players that kind of turned the tide of the franchise. Let's just go over him before switching gears to Amari.
Yeah. He was one of those guys that gave the Cardinals swagger at a time where they didn't necessarily have it.
They had no swag.
He was a guy that came in and, well, he was ridiculous at times off the field with the things he did, owning an alligator and this and that, and dropping a towel on streaming live on the internet to show all his glory. There were a lot
giving
of
giving rookies that, weird haircuts.
Yeah, there was all sorts of things that Darnell Dockett did off the field that made you wonder, is this guy all there sometimes? But on the field, he was fantastic. He was a guy that did help change the perception of the Arizona Cardinals, along with Denny Green, another guy who helped change that perception early on. It was Fitz, Darnell, these guys did a lot to make the Arizona Cardinals be able to get to where they are now.
And so, the Cardinals desperately needed someone that would kind of turn the tide a little bit, create controversy, be news nationally, despite what's going on or off the field. The team, even though that's kind of a risk when you have someone like that, it helps because it starts to change the attitude and the perception around a team, whether good or bad. It changes it. And the franchise was in dire need of someone to kind of flip the script a little bit. And that's what Darnell did. And he said it in his press conference, and you cannot ever argue that he just gave it his all. You watched him on Sundays, sometimes Mondays. He would literally give everything he had on the field, yep, each and every game. And you can do nothing but respect that.
One thing drives me nuts, though. Steve Nash gets called a traitor because he goes and plays for, and play is a very loose term for the Los Angeles Lakers. Really, he got paid very well to sit in the trainer's room with the Lakers. Dockett goes to the 49ers. Everybody seems to forget that part of it, and nobody's making those kind of accusations of Darnell Dockett as well. And he was more boisterous about wanting to stick it to the Cardinals,
yep,
and everything in that final go-around with the 49ers. And everybody seemed to forget that when he decided to retire as a Cardinal.
Well, and that now brings a very good segue into mentioning Amari Stoudemire's retirement.
I have a sneaking suspicion you and I are going to have different feelings on this.
Okay, we might.
You can start.
Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, Amari Stoudemire retires as a Nick, which was surprising, I think, to everyone. I won't sit here and be like, whatever, you know, like I expected that to happen. You know, Amari clearly played his best years in Phoenix, but he retired as a Nick. Amari always did stuff that was just a little bit different and handled, mm-hmm, himself a little differently than everyone else. I'm born and raised here, Espo. I am absolutely embarrassed from the standpoint of how some local fans handled themselves with this news that he retired as a Nick. Get over it. Like, you all of a sudden talk about how this guy was not that good. You all of a sudden talk about how he wasn't that great of a player. You talk about how he wasn't that great of a son and won't be remembered. And you talk about how offended you are that I don't like him anymore and I lost respect for him because he retired a Nick and not a son. Those are the people right now that are, in my opinion, fine with how the Suns are right now, because they clearly didn't appreciate the incredible run that the Suns went on in the 2000s, from 2004 and 2000 to 2000, and basically 2002 till 2010 was when Amari was there. But 2004, when Nash got there, Amari Stoudemire was part of the most exciting team in basketball, not just in Phoenix, in basketball for a number of years. And it was a lot to do with Mike D'Antoni being the professor and then Steve Nash being the director. So you have the producer and the director of this 7 seconds or less style of offense. But this offense would not have been what it was without a big that could run the floor, catch passes that no one saw coming in the entire building or watching at home from Steve Nash, and finish. He was an all-NBA player. He was a catalyst when the team was playing well. In fact, in 2010, when the Suns went on their incredible run into the playoffs and ultimately to the Western Conference Finals, when, you know, teams might have been writing them off a little bit, it was Amari Stoudemire's run through the last month and a half, 2 months, where he was putting up insane numbers, some of the best of his career. It was that run that spurred the team to get to where they ended up, plus great contributions off the bench from guys like Jared Dudley. But when I see people going off about how they've lost respect for Amari Stoudemire, he doesn't deserve to be in the Ring of Honor, because the fact that he retired a Nick, it means you have zero appreciation for some of the best times that anyone in Arizona has had with their local team. It means you are wiping it aside, that you don't care, and you are have too much of an ego, and you have too much of an issue with perception that you don't think about the good times. Real sports fans around the country embrace the greats that played for them. And Amari Stoudemire is one of the greatest players to ever wear a Suns uniform. Whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, that remains to be seen. But he is one of the greatest players to ever wear a Suns uniform. And the fact that quote-unquote Suns fans are willing to brush that aside because he retired a Knick, it means you're not a real fan and you are embarrassing to the people that are real fans. Now, if I'm coming from LA, and I'll wrap this up here in a moment because I know I've gone here for a while, but I've been waiting since Tuesday and now it's Friday that we're recording this.
You go for it.
The fact that I'm not from LA or New York or Philadelphia or places, I don't want to actually throw LA in there. I'm not from Philadelphia. I'm not from LA. I'm not from Boston. I'm not from New York. I'm not from places where there's supposedly these incredible fans.
You threw LA in there.
I did, again, on accident. Just forget I said LA, where there's these incredible fans through and through, no matter what. They may be crazy, obnoxious fans, but they understand and they believe in the root of what it means to be a fan and respect the guys that did it for them. People in Phoenix jump so quickly off the bandwagon. It would be one thing if I was from one of those places and I was having those rants and people locally could blast me and say, oh, you don't understand. I'm from here. I've never lived anywhere else. And I understand what it takes to be a fan here locally. And there's so many people here that don't get it. And all these same people that get offended when East Coast people or people outside of town call Arizona people not real fans, it's because of fans that think Amari Stoudemire's time in Phoenix didn't matter or weren't that great. They're the ones that ruin it for the rest of us.
I'm dropping
my pen because I don't have a mic.
You do have a mic. You just can't drop
it. I can't. It's stuck here.
I'm impressed if you're doing this without a mic. But, okay, Amari Stoudemire is like the girlfriend that when you're with her, you nitpicked the heck out of the entire relationship. Every little thing annoyed you somehow. You didn't like this or that. You didn't like the way that she left her clothes in a certain place. And then now that you're far enough removed, you look back and you go, that's one heck of a time that we really had together. And maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Because in the moment, Amari Stoudemire's lack of defense, lack of effective rebounding,
drove
me insane. And every year he went into training camp, it was, I'm focusing on defense and rebounding this year. He was a guy that was full of quotes, but a lot of time lacked the substance to follow it up in those two areas. So I got very frustrated. But going back and looking at Amari Stoudemire's career, you realize he is probably the best, one of the best athletes to ever play for the Phoenix Suns. I won't go as far as one of the best Phoenix Suns ever because he was an amazing athlete, but the second those injuries caught up with him was when you realized his game never evolved. It was predicated on that athleticism.
Sure.
I do not devalue what he did in a Suns uniform, but I am frustrated by this situation. It's not necessarily that he retired a Knick. It's his right to decide whatever dumb thing he wants to do. What really angers me, pisses me off, quite frankly, is the fact that he decides to talk to Paul Coro yesterday and give quotes like, I bleed purple and orange, right? If you bled purple and orange, you wouldn't have been petty. You wouldn't have been, basically vindictive in terms of why you decided to retire a Knick. Because in the article, Amari talks about how he tried to convince the Suns for the last 2 years to let him come back and play. A, I'm not convinced his agent or him actually called the Suns this year. I'm just saying it. Figure out why I would feel that way on your own. Fill in the gaps however you want, why you think I might know that. But even if he didn't, okay, or even if he did, and maybe he did last year as well, why would the Suns, A, want to sign him, and B, it wasn't like he was asking for a one-day contract to retire. He was asking to come back and play. And the reason why you don't want a guy like that is coming back and playing with this young group is exactly why he signed with the Knicks to retire as a Knick. Because he's petty. There's things emotionally that you don't want your young guys like Marquise and Dragan Bender learning from Amari Stoudemire. People will point, well, Leandro Barbosa and Jared Dudley, why'd they re-sign those guys if they wouldn't re-sign Amari? Leandro Barbosa was actually a fairly productive member of an NBA Finals team last year. And Leandro Barbosa is one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet. He's the kind of guy that you want every young guy in your locker room to be like. And the same can be said for Jared Dudley. He had the highest three-point percentage for a forward last year when he was playing for Washington. He shot 40% for over 40% from three. He's a guy that can come in, still play, and he's the kind of locker room guy you want. The fact that Amari Stoudemire decided, because the Phoenix Suns wouldn't sign him to a multi-million dollar contract to play one final season here, is ridiculous. He wanted them to basically make him the NBA version of Weekend at Bernie's. He wanted them to prop up his corpse and give him a farewell tour and give him minutes. He wasn't going to be the 15th guy on the bench, never playing, cheering for his teammates. I'd much rather see Alan Williams get his shot, a young guy who's from here, who's enthusiastic, has the right kind of attitude, and can potentially have impact moving forward, than see Amari Stoudemire's corpse on the bench this year or last year even. It frustrates me. It's not like he reached out to the Suns and said, hey, let's sign a one-day ceremonial contract for me to retire as a Sun, like he did with the Knicks. It's not like he got rebuffed like that. So do not sit there and tell me that you bleed purple and orange and you love Phoenix because you were petty about this. You acted like a child. You could have easily retired as a Sun or just retired, and instead you decided to retire as a Knick because you were butthurt. I know that's a very juvenile phrase to use, but it's the one that fits best here. And then he talks about, well, I hope and dream that I'm a Ring of Honor member. I put Sean Marion in before I put Amari Stoudemire in. Sean Marion's impact was much larger in this city than Amari Stoudemire's in the long run. I think Amari's worth considering, but I have Al McCoy number one on that list. And then Sean Marion before I even consider Amari Stoudemire going into that Ring of Honor. It angers me the crap that Amari tried to backpedal yesterday in the Arizona Republic, saying the main quote, I bleed purple and orange. No, you don't, because if you did, you wouldn't have been that petulant about this situation. The Suns should not have given you a chance to play again. There's no reason for it. You didn't earn it. Nobody else wanted to sign you in the NBA because you said you wanted to still play, and there obviously was an interest. There's a reason for it. You're washed up. It's over. So why were you so hurt that the Suns wouldn't sign you to a one-year, two-year veteran minimum contract? Just sign the ceremonial one day and go out as a Sun if you truly bleed purple and orange.
And I don't disagree with you. And I think we thought we were going to disagree on the situation. Yeah. We're talking about two different eras here.
I agree.
So I'm not at all referencing how things were handled at the end. I sit here and I told you at the beginning before I started my rant that I'm just as shocked as anyone that ultimately was the case. And it kind of made me do like did something just bite me from behind? Like, what the heck? That came out of nowhere. I'm talking about the people that are hating on him and not remembering what he did when he was in a Suns uniform.
I agree.
So you're bringing up a great point. I think I have my rant and my opinions about two different aspects of Amari Stoudemire, but it all kind of encompasses the same person, someone that when on the floor was a joy to watch. When off the floor, you know, sometimes was a little frustrating. He never got in trouble. He was never a horrible member of society like other Suns who have been on the floor,
well,
especially
like,
recently.
And fairly, like people expected him to be coming out of high school because he had been to so many different high schools. His family was a mess. What he managed to do as a person to rise above that and become the athlete he did, I respect that.
Me too. I commend that.
I have a great deal of respect for that. The way he handled this at the end, I don't. And I don't like the fact that people are trying to portray this like the Phoenix Suns screwed up somehow, because people are misconstruing the fact that it wasn't as if he asked for a one-day contract and got rebuffed.
It
this
was
isn't
a
the situation.
Year or two, yeah.
Go reread the article if that's the way you feel. That wasn't the case. And I'd like other people to remember, the Suns probably have a title if Amari sat his ass on the bench and didn't stand up when Steve Nash got hip checked.
And, yeah.
Amari was the main one, though, because you go into it, That could send us down a rabbit hole that we talk about for the next 4 hours. But people, you got to remember
this. And that was the year that they should have won the title. I mean, of all the years that they had a team, that was the year. And he was part of the contingent, maybe led the contingent, that completely blew it. There's no doubt about it. But they might not have been here the way he was playing that season.
I agree.
Let's keep moving forward. Amari Stoudemire, we'll throw that in the back pocket. I know both of us have been wanting to talk about that for a while. But, hey, you know, we had to schedule our podcast when we could schedule it, right? Cards camp is officially underway. You and I have both been here our whole lives. There has never been more expectations around a football team. Maybe last year was the most, and now this year has completely exceeded that. And I think All or Nothing on Amazon Prime has only enhanced that. I always get reluctant when it comes to the Cardinals in general when there is hype. This year, I've bought into the hype, but there's still things to be a little concerned about. And so with it pertaining to Cardinals camp, what are some concerns you have? How off the field, on the field, or things that you're worried could get away from this team if one not-so-good domino could fall in the wrong place?
Well, look, we never claim we're unbiased here. We are Arizona sports fans. I've got a million Cardinals jerseys sitting in my closet at home, starting with a Jake Plummer reversible jersey.
Reversible!
I have a Phoenix Cardinals pennant sitting in my house, and I still have the scars from sitting on the metal bleachers at Sun Devil Stadium.
I think I do, too.
But I am worried, all right? I am worried that this team is buying into their own hype right now, their own press clippings, because of how training camp started yesterday. And maybe I'm reading way too much into this, but you've got Patrick Peterson that decides to arrive at camp on a helicopter that the team owns, that they set down in the field at University of Phoenix Stadium. And they trumpeted it like it was a big deal. It wasn't like, he had some legitimate reason. This felt like a complete publicity stunt. Then you hear, I heard Bruce Arians driving around in a pimped out golf cart too. Like, it seems like it's getting a little too Hollywood for me. And I don't know, maybe they're filming a second season of All or Nothing.
Which would be awesome.
That we're not aware of.
And some
of this stuff is for the cameras, but even that is worrisome. I'm just afraid that this team is, their mentality and their ego may have gotten a little bigger than it should have been. Because you know what? The last time we saw them on a football field, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers kicked in their teeth. So all they accomplished was the best season, regular season in Arizona Cardinals history. And you know what that is? Not that impressive, because there haven't been that many good regular seasons in Cardinals history. You're not that good until you get over that hump. And they are nowhere near over that hump. You can have all the newspapers and all the publications and all the talking heads like you and I pick you to win a Super Bowl, but till you get out there on the field and you prove that, you've done nothing. So put the helicopters in the hangar, leave the golf carts at the golf course, and focus on what you need to do best. Now, I trust Bruce Arians to get these guys' minds right. But that really worried me when that's day one of camp and you're going Hollywood already.
See, I think the whole them not focusing because they arrive on a helicopter and they do the whole pimped out golf cart thing, I think that's really, you know, Clint Eastwood, get off my lawn. You know, it's like, oh, cranky, you know, I don't really care. I don't look at that situation and be like, they're not focusing on football. You know, maybe the glamorous exclamation mark that comes with doing something like that is a little bit overdone. But come on, they play football at the end of the day. You know, if they arrive in a Pinto or a helicopter, at least they got there. So at least they're there to play football.
I get it. It's much better than in the past when we had holdouts that we were talking about.
Larry Fitzgerald used to run around Flagstaff on a Segway.
You're saving, like, the Segway's a nerdy thing. We're talking about a
helicopter.
We're not talking like a news helicopter. We're talking a luxury helicopter, and they live streamed it and they put it on Instagram. They did all this stuff.
This is the concern.
If you won the Super Bowl, fly in with the trophy hanging off the damn helicopter. But until then, focus on winning.
I don't see them as flying in a helicopter as them not focusing on winning. What I do, I share your concern. It has nothing to do with the helicopter. I share the concern because, like you said, the last regular season game they played, they got their teeth kicked in too against the Seahawks, a division rival at home. And then they finished their season playing the Carolina Panthers, doing the same outcome. So two out of their last three games, they got obliterated.
And remember, they almost blew the game against the
Green
Packers.
Bay. With the,
if they don't win the coin toss in overtime, who knows how that ends up?
Exactly. This is what I get concerned about. There is a lot of hype around this team, nationally too, and they deserve it. Good for them. Finally, this organization is getting some respect nationally for how great of a roster they have and how great of a core they have. But I too worry about the fact that they might have bought into it. They might buy into it. They have an unbelievably difficult game against the New England Patriots against their backup quarterback. I don't care who is playing quarterback for the Patriots on Sunday Night Football when the season starts. Either way, it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So if you take a step back thinking you're pretty awesome and you think about your home record the last several seasons and you know that Tom Brady isn't playing, that has loss written all over it. And man, would the hype sink and go down like toilet water if you lose that first game because you overthought or were throwing yourself too high on a pedestal because of what was going on and what the Patriots didn't have as opposed to what they do have.
The irony is, I actually think that might help them. Because if you come out the gates and if you do have that ego a little bit and you get smacked in the face by Jimmy Garoppolo.
It'll dry heat check them to the curb right?
You wind up getting your head beat in by a team that you shouldn't on national television. That might get you focused quicker than if you come out and you blow them out and you start buying into your own hype a little too much. I don't think Bruce Arians will let them get to that place.
Because I don't think so
because
either.
He continually reminded them last year
That they haven't done anything. And they still haven't, and he's going to be saying that all year.
I just hope they don't buy too much into it.
But we've been really negative Nancy on this episode so far, with good points, granted. Give me something you're excited about Cards Camp. I mean, it's football season. Let's be excited. What are you excited about going into this team? Give me a player or a situation or a position group or an aspect to this team that, you know what? As a Cardinals fan with a reversible Jake Plummer jersey, what are you excited about?
Well, look, I have no problem with us being negative because we're not beholden to anybody. We're just giving opinions, and when they need to be, we'll be negative. But you're right. There is a lot to be excited about with this Cardinals team. Chandler Jones is where it starts for me. Mm-hmm. Because I want to see, can this guy be everything he was in New England? And if so, he's probably the missing piece. That pass rush is going to be scary if he's the guy everybody thinks he can be.
And if Marcus Golden keeps going the way he was in his first season, going into his second year, you're looking at quite the edge rush on both sides.
Yeah, and if Tyrann Mathieu comes back and can play at a high level, there's a lot here. And that wide receiver group is stacked. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing how they play. So there's a lot to be excited about with this team. I want to see David Johnson. What's the next evolution?
That was my guy.
Even the running back group is a group that I'm looking forward to watch, which is something I don't think I've ever been able to say a Cardinals fan.
Maybe when Larry Centers was here, and he was technically not even just a straight running back.
It's an interesting point. Larry Centers is a guy that, you know, David Johnson can catch like Larry Centers, can do a lot of those things. There's excitement for a reason. I just after years and years of being Charlie Brown running after the football and having Lucy pull it away and Lucy being the rest of the NFL, I'm just hesitant. I'm a little nervous.
Until they win a Super Bowl, you can't help but be that way.
Exactly.
Now, you failed to mention Carson Palmer, and I know that's a really cliche aspect. But
you said what I'm excited about. I'm concerned about Carson Palmer because do you remember the Carolina game?
No.
Do you remember how bad that was?
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember a guy named Jake Delhomme who had a similar game towards the end of his career in the playoffs?
Against the Cardinals.
And never mentally recovered?
Okay.
God, I hope that's not what happens.
I really
Carson
hope
Palmer.
That's not the case either, but I also can't help but think about all the horrific years of quarterback play in this town.
I agree.
And another year with Carson Palmer at the helm, hopefully not with the emotional and emotional scars of how that season ended last year. Hopefully he bounces back. He's acknowledged it. He's not being naive. He's acknowledged it. I've heard the quotes. So I'm excited about the notion that there's actually a quarterback that can do a darn thing that's still playing for this team. And, you know, those years are few and far between around here.
Look,
so.
I love Carson Palmer as a quarterback, and I'll be the first to tell you he's probably the second best quarterback in Phoenix/Arizona Cardinals history.
Behind?
It's probably Kurt Warner, just because he got them to a Super Bowl, then Carson Palmer, then Jake Plummer. That's the three, and those are the only three in the discussion. If Carson Palmer has another season like he did last year and they have success in the playoffs, he's probably the best quarterback ever in Phoenix/Arizona Cardinals history.
So you don't throw Tim Rosenbaugh with the two M's and the silent C in there?
Just because of his name. Actually, he's probably in the top 10, which probably tells you enough about all the crappy quarterbacks that have played it.
Let's keep moving forward. So MTV did something interesting that kind of rolls into our generation. They're releasing on August 1st MTV Classics. This is a new channel. It's going to bring back old 90s and 2000 shows, including Beavis and Butthead, Daria, Total Request Live, The Real World, Road Rules, Cribs, Pimp My Ride, all those fun shows.
How can you bring Total Request Live back? Because A, it's not live. B, you can't request anything. And C, who the hell wants to listen to that music from back in the day? I don't need any Backstreet Boys 98 Degrees.
Oh man, when the
maybe
Backstreet
if they
Boys
show the
came,
Britney Spears videos, I'd be
sure,
in
sure. Yeah,
but,
Backstreet Boys came on when I was at the grocery store over the weekend, and I just couldn't help but break out and start dancing with my kids.
I forget you're younger than me.
I've got respect for the Backstreet Boys, my man.
If this channel doesn't have Singled Out and Remote Control on
Singled
it,
Out has to be on air.
They've
yeah.
screwed the pooch, and I don't want to watch it.
Singled Out was a great show.
I interrupted before we got to the question.
The question is, if you could have a channel dedicated to a past season of a local team here in town to watch over again, which would it be?
Just one team, one season?
One team, one season. You could watch the whole season all over again.
It's got to be the 92-93 Suns. This was
tough. I'm so glad you said that.
Because I would have loved to have seen the 75-76 full season because I obviously didn't live through it, and everybody talked about how magical that was.
Yeah.
But I just saw a pretty good documentary on it by Tom Leander a couple months ago. So I'd really want to relive the 92-93 season, every game, every playoff game, and relive it. I actually pitched that idea during the lockout. It was the first year I was with the Suns. I said, we can't talk about current players. We can't do anything with current players. Why don't we just basically replay that entire season? Now there were some legal issues that we couldn't get into, but who wouldn't want to watch all of that? That regular season was magical. Most wins in Suns history. They were the best team in the NBA, and then those playoff series were insane. I'd watch everything up until the final 5 seconds of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And then I'd just choose to act as if there were an alternate ending. They give me a Game 7 and the Suns win.
It would be really good. And you actually add the personalities involved. Michael Jordan being one of them at the end with the Finals, the greatest ever. Charles Barkley, Tom Chambers, Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson, Paul Westphal, the Paul Westphal rant he went on after going down 0-2 against the Lakers.
The guarantee is the single greatest quote in Arizona sport. No, in Arizona,
in Arizona
sports.
Yeah,
history.
Sure. I won't disagree with that. Here's my only refute on the 92-93 Suns, and it's minuscule, so I don't want you to think that I'm like sitting here nitpicking, and this is the reason why I didn't pick them. I've watched on NBA Classics multiple games from that year.
Yep.
The Game 6, unfortunately. There was a game against Seattle that was replayed once. I can't remember. There was one other one. That style of basketball isn't really my style.
I get you.
They would throw the ball down to Barkley, and they would just sit and wait for him to do something on the low block. While it was an incredible team, and the team did some great stuff, and the personalities were great, that brand of basketball quite frankly, wasn't the most exciting thing in the world. And I remember watching Game 6 over again recently. I think it was in the last year. It was just on, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll watch this. I've seen this game 5 times. It kills me every time. But it's like driving past a car accident on the freeway. You know, you just can't help but take a look at it.
Yeah.
They would bring the ball up, give the ball to Barkley on the low block. The ball would just sit, and they'd wait for him to do something. Not really entertaining basketball, especially having lived through the 7 seconds or less era, which was the most exciting brand of basketball.
So for that
lone reason, I wouldn't want to watch that season over again, because the basketball itself wouldn't be the most exciting thing in the world. You're going to think I'm completely biased, but you just mentioned it. We're fans here at the end of the day. I'd want to relive the 1997 Arizona Wildcats national championship run.
See, I may have gone to U of A, but I don't care about U of A basketball. I get that.
Well, U of A basketball is probably my number one for my entire life. And reliving that season, Lute Olson, Miles Simon, angelic, exciting personality. Mike Bibby was a star. Michael Dickerson, Jason Terry, an exciting bench guy. They had a lot of fun pieces on that team. There were unbelievable highs and lows that season. People remember they were a 5 seed because they stumbled through the Pac-12. They struggled. And the run that they went on through the tournament, knocking off 3 number 1 seeds, including a Kansas team with Paul Pierce and Ralph LaFrance, a North Carolina team that had Vince Carter, and then a Kentucky team that had Ron Mercer. It was just unbelievable drama and excitement. I remember where I was for most of those games in that tournament. Reliving that season, I think, would bring up a lot of fun, excitement, and a lot of great memories.
I feel like we need a challenge flag that we can throw during this show, because I'm going to challenge both of our selections, which I know is ironic that I'm arguing against myself.
Are you going under the hood here to look back?
How did neither of us choose the 2001 Arizona Diamondbacks season, one legitimate pro sports title we have in this city, and a series that captured everybody's imagination, and a season that was interrupted by the greatest tragedy in American history. That season had everything. I actually penalized both of us for not saying that.
Is that a 1 week podcast suspension or just a five yard penalty?
You're suspended. I'll be here next week.
All right. Well,
maybe,
good luck.
Maybe we'll let our person who's the wet cold take actually host next week.
So. There we go. Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second. First, before that, trade extend release. So since Cardinals have begun training camp, there's multiple guys that are going into the final years of their contract. We talked about Tyrann Mathieu last week, so we're not going to include him. Plus, I think it's pretty obvious what this team should do with him. Larry Fitzgerald is also at the end of his contract. We're not including him. So we're going to include 3 other intriguing names in the last year of their contracts that really it's going to be pretty interesting what the team decides to do. So, Espo, we'll go one at a time. Trade, extend, release, Chandler Jones, Michael Floyd, Calais Campbell.
I trade Michael Floyd because offense is always sexy in the NFL and teams need wide receivers, and the Cardinals have a wealth of wide receivers, and not just, you know, Larry Fitzgerald. They've got young guys like John Brown and J.J. Nelson and Jerron Brown. There's a lot of talent at that position, and Michael Floyd has shown that he's at times been injury prone. I trade Michael Floyd.
I agree. I totally understand and I level with you on that point. However, I'm trading Calais Campbell. I'm trading Calais Campbell because pass rushing is a premium, which we've seen here locally. And a Pro Bowl caliber defensive lineman is a premium. And I think the most you can get back without trading the key piece you traded for this offseason would be trading Calais Campbell in the final year of his contract.
I am going to extend Chandler Jones, and I don't think either of us are going to argue on this. I think this is just the smart thing to do. Young, up and coming, one of the leading pass rushers in the NFL, and the Cardinals actually need to extend him in real life. So Chandler Jones is my extend.
Couldn't agree more. They need someone that's going to – they need that guy that's just consistently rushing and putting pressure on the passer. We've seen how successful even bad teams have been. Like the Rams, when the Rams have been closer in games the last few years than maybe their talent would back up, because they've had those guys on the defensive line that have been able to rush the quarterback and wreak havoc. So I'm with you. I think Chandler Jones is the guy you extend, which means I am releasing Michael Floyd for the same reasons you said you'd trade him. They are deep at wide receiver. And if I had to release one of these guys this season within the final year of their contract, the one position where I feel like would do the less harm to, the least harm to, is the wide receiving position. So I would cut ties with Michael Floyd.
Yeah, and I would cut ties with Calais Campbell because he's a guy that hasn't lived up to expectations. And Coach Arians will be the first to tell you that. I mean, he's kind of ridden Calais Campbell a little bit, and I think it's probably the reason that he may be the odd man out next year when Chandler Jones probably gets big money and they probably let Calais walk. So if I have to release one of these guys, it's going to be Calais for me.
Plus, I think he's the oldest of this group, mm-hmm. right? So, and you know what? And I don't disagree. He's been good but not great, and he has the intangibles to be great.
It makes this game more fun when you vehemently disagree with me. I'm just going to let you know.
Yeah. Well, I did disagree with you. I did.
Just not vehemently. You just said you could understand where I was coming with Calais. So.
I can understand, but
I have to give you a hard time. I haven't given you much of a hard time on this episode, and I think people have come to expect me to bust your balls.
Yeah. Well, I think it offends people when you give me such a hard time.
I don't think so. Maybe you.
People care for me. People get upset.
If you care for Mr. Cohen, please tweet us at Dry Heat Check and let me know, and maybe I will take it easier a little bit.
Maybe if
it's family members, I'm discrediting those votes. I'm just letting you know. Those count as negative votes.
Wet, cold take for the week, and it's a good one. We're putting on blast Jordan Hamm, another member of the Sports 360 AZ family. He is a workhorse for this team, a.k.a. Inspector Gadget. You should see this guy on Friday nights for high school football. He's got a little shoulder contraption that he can connect his camera to. He's got his digital camera around his neck. He's got his phone prepared for tweeting. He is a man that has about 20 hands on Friday night, but he makes it look easy.
Well, gee, if E would work a little harder on Friday nights, maybe Jordan wouldn't have to work so hard.
Maybe there's something to that. However, he had this tweet that we couldn't let go unnoticed. Back on December 10th, 2011, he tweeted this. Cardinals, use all 7 picks on RG3.
It worked so well for the Redskins. Why not?
That was the year, actually, to have this show come full circle was the year that they drafted Michael Floyd.
It would have been the most Cardinals thing to do, the old Cardinals,
to trade all their draft picks and
then have that
draft
guy,
RG3, and then he fails miserably.
And then have him wind up becoming the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. The only team that was sadder than the Cardinals for many decades.
So shout out to Jordan Hamm. You can follow him at Jordy Hamm. He tweeted on December 10th, 2011, Cardinals use all 7 picks on RG3.
Look, and now we're at the end of the episode. We're at the end of the Tony Womack episode, and we need you guys to do something for us. Head over to iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a review, all right? That's going to help us.
Have you left a review under an anonymous name
left? I have not.
I know it keeps you up at night.
I have not. It keeps me up because I'm waiting for that call from the big man, the big guy, Brad Sasmat, going, why are you wasting my studio time? Nobody seems to like this show. I don't know that Brad actually knows my number or knows who I am, but I'm just assuming that may happen at some point. So help us out. Make sure to do that. Follow us on Twitter as well, at Dry Heat Check. Interact with the show. You're as much a part of this as we are.
Absolutely, and we will go through some of the best tweets we get over the course of the week. It was a lot of fun having the interaction after Chris Sale cut up his jersey.
Yes, it was.
With the White Sox, asking people who their least favorite Arizona jerseys were at any team in the state, and that was a lot of fun
dialogue.
Yeah,
go check it out, and you can still weigh in if you want.
You can still weigh in. It was a good dialogue. So until next time, that's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. This has been the Dry Heat Check.